the entertainment.
One, welcome to the City of Palm Coast City Council Business Meeting. Today is Tuesday, August the 16th, 2022. It is 9 a.m. and we are in the community wing of City Hall. So with that, if you would please rise and join me for our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if the clerk would call the roll, please.
Mayor Alfin.
Present.
Councilmember Danko.
Here.
Councilmember Finelli.
Present.
Councilmember Clufus.
Present.
Vice Mayor Branquino is appearing via Zoom. Are you here? He's muted.
So I just sent him a note.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you. We'll move on with the agenda this morning, and we always start off with public participation. In order for city staff to be able to respond to your questions or concerns, please fill out a comment card with your contact information. The comment cards can be found on the table near the agendas or from the communications director sitting in the back with a nice smile back there. Public participation shall be held in accordance with Section 286.0114 Florida statutes, and pursuant to the City Council's meeting policies and procedures, each speaker shall at the podium provide their name and may speak for up to 3 minutes. The public may provide comments to the City Council relative to matters not on the agenda at the times indicated in this agenda. Following any comments from the public, there may be discussion by the City Council. When addressing the City Council on specific enumerated agenda items, speakers shall direct all comments to the mayor, make their comments concise and to the point, not speak more than once on the same subject, not by speech or otherwise delay or interrupt the proceedings or the peace of the City Council, obey the orders of the mayor or the City Council, and not make any irrelevant, impertinent, or slanderous comments while addressing the City Council, which pursuant to council rules shall be considered disorderly. Any person who becomes disorderly or who fails to confine his or her comments to the identified subject or business shall be cautioned by the mayor and thereafter must conclude his or her remarks on the subject within the remaining designated time limit. Any speaker failing to comply as cautioned shall be barred from making any additional comments during the meeting and may be removed as necessary for the remainder of the meeting. With that, I would open up the agenda for public comment. Are there any members of the public that would like to address City Council at this time? Yes, sir.
I know you all know me. Before I've ever talked here, I did it with the previous city.
Just announce yourself, just so we have it for the record.
Brewster. I spoke for several years when Holland was city mayor. We still have tremendous problems throughout Palm Coast with traffic. Nothing's changing. I submitted to the City Council today some printout on speed cushions, speed tables. The nation is going that way. You could Google it. Every major city is doing it because of the traffic. As you know, what Mayor, Ormond Beach, they're not only doing Riverside. I found out this morning they're doing Granada, which is a major thoroughfare. We need help. Someone is going to get killed. I walk every day because I have blood clots in my legs. Walking's the best thing for me. A lot of time I limp. These people hog the curve. Even when I'm walking on the grass, they're zooming by. It's changed a little bit with the signs, but we still need help. One other suggestion I want to make to the city, and I address this to Flagler County. Where the curve is, and I live right on the curve, there's a 20-mile-per-hour sign in yellow. You can't get a ticket for it because it's in yellow. It's a warning. I asked Flagler County, what do we have to do to get that changed? And they said, City of Palm Coast has the power to change that sign. That's about it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for your comment. Is there another speaker that would like? Yes, sir.
Morning. Joe Runack, 7 Courtney Court. I'd like to speak, if I could today, about the proposal regarding the cell phone tower at 7 Clubhouse Drive. This cell phone tower is not as of right. I ask you to think of the word right. That's a legal term, but frankly, there is right and there is wrong. And this cell phone tower, as proposed, is wrong. I'd like to think about the word tower. The word tower can be used a couple of ways. As a noun, it means the 150-foot tower. But for our neighborhood, I'm going to use it as a verb, as this would tower over our whole existing area. We have buried utilities in our area. We have no telephone poles, and this would completely change the nature of the area. I'd like you to think about the meaning of the word special exemption. This tower, if it did not need a special exemption, no one would be even talking about it. And as far as the piece of property proposed to put it on, it's a residential area. So we're not talking about density, maybe 4 apartments instead of 5, maybe a fence being moved a foot or two left or right. We are talking about a major, major situation here where it's going to change the entire neighborhood, and not for the better. This is a permanent structure. Every day, every morning, every afternoon, if this tower is erected, everyone in the area will get a very, very good look at it. I was here last meeting. My residence is probably the most affected by this proposal at 7 Courtney Court. I extended an open invitation for the entire City Council, for the Planning Commission, for the City Manager to come and see what I see every day. I certainly keep that invitation open before such an important decision is made. Please come and take a look at how this will change in the nature of the area. In closing, the American Cancer Society says you should live no closer than 1/4 of a mile from a cell phone tower. That's 1,320 feet. My residence is 300 feet from the tower, and I have cancer survivors in my family. Let's use a little common sense here, a little good judgment, and find a better solution to this. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker, please.
My name is Celia Buglisi. I'm in 31 Carson Lane. Very, also, as our neighbor Joe, very much affected by this tower. Our 44 homes in our HOA and the 53 homes in Lake Forest and many more owners around in Courtney Lane, over 100 houses, and further down, Cameo and the other streets. We are going to be all affected in the price of our homes by this tower, besides the appearance that is going to totally undermine the area for the first time. Originally, when we bought there, We didn't buy on our zoning where they would allow this type of tower, and now the city wants to give them a special exemption for that. Who is gonna pay the depreciation, the terrible depreciation our homes are gonna have? It's been mentioned here that is for safety and for communications, for fire and law enforcement, emergency services. That is not quite so, because the emergency system that we have is connected here with the county for everybody, for emergency system, for the law enforcement, and for the fire department. Our officers, when they go for a call, they don't use their cell phones in our area, which is mentioned that is dead areas. This is not for safety. You need to really address our issues with sincerity, with facts. We are going to be affected by this. I already asked our manager to let us know which is the next step, if you receive any requests, because the Diamond Tower meeting was attended by 60 people, which none of them approve or were in the side of this tower. It was a very contentious meeting, because people is very frustrated, and they confronted Diamond Tower and their attorney very strong against, with opposition and against this proposal. You need to preserve our quality of life. And this tower will be followed by other towers to connect with AT&T, because AT&T towers only have a reach of 1 mile or less, when other towers like Verizon, they have a reach of about 5 miles. So you need to please look for another location for this tower, because we are going to be very affected. The health issues that this tower can produce over time with people is not proven yet. The same way that the cigarette nicotine issue was not proven at the time for like 50 years until people started dying of cancer. So there is no proven here in the USA, because there is a proof and there are limitations all over Europe and all over the world. So I will ask you very please to consider another location for this tower from our council. We elect you to represent us. Please, thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker, please.
My name is Rich Gellner, and I'm a resident in the W section of Palm Coast, and I'd like to thank the mayor for the opportunity to address the council and the mayor. I recently had my daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter in town, and they spent about 10 days with us. And I have to share with you their comments. They were absolutely astounded at the cleanliness and the landscaping of our beautiful city. And I thought that it would be nice for a change to focus on something that's an extreme positive. And I think that not only the city of Palm Coast, but the residents of Palm Coast that take such great pride in the city to not throw trash out the window and to pick it up when they're on a morning walk, like I try and do when I'm taking my walk, should be really recognized. Another observation, and I've been to quite a few of these, is that when I was in a leadership role with companies, or I owned my own company, I always welcomed challenges that the company's facing, because sometimes as leader you don't always see the forest through the trees. The only thing that I asked is that if you were going to bring a challenge or a problem or an issue to me, please try and come up with an idea, because as a leader or the boss, I didn't have all the answers. And oftentimes the people that have the challenge or that have the issue sometimes have great ideas. And I used to have a saying that there were no such thing as a dumb idea, so I respect everybody's input. Some are not feasible for one reason or another, but coming with a challenge and then bringing a solution at the same time, I think would be very beneficial, and I think it would do us a lot of good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker, please.
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. As the city keeps growing, the traffic keeps growing, and the issues with the traffic keeps getting worse. And I know the city is looking into different variations of trying to figure out what to do with the traffic, and I really appreciate them doing that. But As I've been coming up to the city council to talk about traffic issues, I've noticed that more and more people are beginning to realize what the issue is within their own neighborhoods. And so I want to encourage the city to continue to look into the traffic issue problems and really come up with some kind of way to actually help the residential neighborhoods. The sheriff's department is doing a good job, but they can't be everywhere. So we tend to, I don't want to say we tend to, I think the city sometimes tends to use the sheriff's department to calm the traffic in residential neighborhoods. Well, they can't be in every residential neighborhood. So we need that traffic calming in every residential neighborhood where there is a problem. And the sheriff's department would be just overwhelmed if we put somebody there every day. And that's not happening anyway. So please continue to seek out what will help the residential neighborhoods and the quality of life within residential neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please. Yes, sir.
Morning, Council. Dennis McDonald. Coming to talk to you about the cell tower on Clubhouse that you all know about. And you recently are probably aware of the fact that there was a public hearing or a neighborhood hearing, let's put it that way, where the cell tower company made a presentation to us. One of the things I wanted to make everybody aware of here, so that there aren't any questions later on, is that what they presented to us was the fact that the city, okay, which would be everyone on this council, is telling them directly that the only place that they can put a tower is on city property. Okay, they are, and that was a statement made to over 100 people in a room. And now, that's rather concerning to me, because obviously you guys are attempting to run a monopoly when your land code says you are encouraging to put it on city property. Okay, so I just want to make you aware of that, because there's more to come on this, because the neighbors have organized on this. There is going to be a formal pushback on it. I don't know what form it is right now, but certainly there are people that are collecting money, and there is going to be a pushback on this attempt to put a tenant. You're encouraging a tenant to come in and rent our city property to put a cell tower on. Okay, and you're asking them to go for a change in zoning, and then you are going to benefit from that, and we are going to be, or everybody in that area certainly will be, have their property values diminished. We can all agree on that. So, and I'm sure, Mr. Mayor, you know, as a realtor, you understand that. And when you're selling a property and you're driving down the street and there's a cell tower sticking out right above the street where you're showing the house, it's certainly a deterrent. I think we can all agree on that. So just be aware of the fact of what the cell tower company is saying. This is that they essentially are saying that they must locate, and so that would on city property, and so that would preclude any attempt to use any of the property you know, that is privately owned. And you know, we all know that there are city properties in that area that are better suited for this and certainly work. One other interesting thing that I want you to know that came out of that hearing was the fact that they said the reason they needed this tower was just for AT&T, okay? And that essentially AT&T needed five towers in that area, where, and then they asked, other people asked, where the other towers were for the other cell tower companies, and they said there aren't any. So what that would lead me to believe is AT&T needs five cell towers, okay, and the other companies are covering it from outside that area. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Is there another speaker? Yes.
Good morning. I'm Samantha Mendez. I live at 7 Central Place. I wanted to thank you for continuing to listen to us and look into options to make Cimarron Drive safer for the residents that use that street. However, I feel that you are waiting for something tragic to happen before you really take us serious and get a solution for us. My daughter was in fifth grade when I first got up here and spoke to you about Cimarron Drive. She just started back to school on Wednesday and is now in seventh grade. So 2 years, and it feels like we are nowhere closer to having a safe means of travel for the children going to their bus stops each morning and walking or riding their bikes home each afternoon. Our bus stop was changed to a street further from my own, and I now drive my children each morning and pick them up each afternoon because it is just not safe enough to walk. Please come out to our neighborhood at 6:30 in the morning and see how dangerous it is for our children and how dangerous it is for all the people walking their dogs or riding their bikes. Please make Cimarron Drive a top priority on your long list of things to fix in Palm Coast, please, before someone gets hurt. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any other members of the public that would like to address City Council at this time? Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, I'm Al Cryer from the Committee on Safety on Cimarron. And Monday night I had mentioned to you that I was expecting the figures on pedestrian fatalities, and I have a report for you today. I gave everything to Virginia to become part of a permanent file with the backup, and you just have the cover page. So very quickly I'll go through these. We'll start with Florida. Florida is number two in total pedestrian fatalities last year, only second to California. They beat us by 26, and California, I think population-wise, is quite a bit bigger than Florida. Going a little bit further, one more down, Florida had the greatest increase in pedestrian fatalities last year in the United States, with 105. Going down one more notch, Florida is number one in pedestrian fatalities in the 10 most populated states in the United States. This is per capita, per 100, per 1,000. This is the one that surprised me. They lump it together for Volusia and Flagler counties. We were number one in pedestrian fatalities per capita in Florida last year. So those aren't very good figures, but already last week, a newspaper came out, deadly roadways, on and on. It was almost two or three pages, just nothing about, just negative stuff on pedestrian fatalities. And I'm making the point that I think it could be an opportunity for us. We've come a long ways already. All the groundwork's been laid to take our certain streets, the collector streets, and make them walkable communities. And we have to just continue on that path. I think we could get some national as well as state recognition for what has been done already. But we still have to crack the one with the first one, grab one street, half a street, whatever, and get it started, because we're well on the way. And I know it isn't good news on all these fatalities, but at least we're aware of it. We've been working it, for quite a while now, and we've been making progress, and we just got to get it started on one of these streets. I'd love to have Cimarron as that street, but I'll make another case for that. I was going to say, all of you people are going to be ready for sainthood, because we're closing in on almost 100 presentations already on this. So, but okay, I want to thank everybody. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Any other members of the public like to address City Council at this time? Seeing no one, we'll come back to the dais, and our next agenda item are the minutes. And I would ask for a motion to approve the minutes of the August 2nd, 2022 business meeting and the August 9th, 2022 workshop meeting. Do I have a motion?
Move approval.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Does the clerk have the count?
Yes, motion passes 4-0.
Thank you. We move to item number F on the agenda this morning, which will be presentations. And our first only presentation is the 2022 summer intern recap. Ms. Kershaw, do you have a presentation for us?
I'm actually going to let our city manager take this one.
Thank you, Brittany. So this presentation is highlighting our 2022 internship program. Over the course of the last 3 to 4 months, our interns have joined our organization and really brought exceptional value to delivering exceptional products and deliverables. So this internship program is very competitive. They go through an interview process just like our employees, and actually get to experience a lot of behind-the-scenes opportunities of touring the facilities, looking at our wastewater treatment plants, learning about fire, and our communications team put together this really wonderful video that says it all. So I'll just turn it back over to Brittany to start the presentation.
This is my first experience as an intern. I've honestly learned a lot. Like, I've only been here for a few weeks, but I feel like I've been here much longer and a part of like the city and the community. I've learned a lot about like communication and personal skills and interacting with others, working together.
I think networking was the biggest thing that I learned about this internship. I've had to go and talk to many different departments, so that really helped me to see what the city offers for jobs, what the city's departments are, and what opportunities the city has. I study Homeland Security at Embry-Riddle, and I just took an environmental security class, so I thought working on a litter campaign would put my knowledge to the test.
During this internship, I definitely learned how much different departments all over the city come together to run this city, like how it all works together, how everything is very vital to the function of running a community.
I recently moved to the city of Palm Coast after recently graduating, and I wanted to do something that I felt like would have an impact, or at least start building the blocks to that. So I feel like this was a good place for me to start at and possibly be able to have a career.
The main skills I've learned is how to network with other professionals and as a business professional myself.
Something I've learned is, you know, project management. You know, how do I start a project from scratch and develop it into something that's real and functioning? And I was able to learn how other companies may manage and run their own website, what tools do they use, how they use to communicate, what apps and languages are they using in order to get their website up and running and working.
Getting my business degree in human resources, so I feel like learning hands-on is definitely going to help me more than reading, you know, a textbook and, you know, learning from other people around the office. I think you gain more experience.
So I've learned a lot, but I think the coolest thing I've learned is just how the city works behind the scenes, how all the different departments really work together to get the city to run and grow, which I think was really cool since I grew up here.
I've learned how to become a better, I would say, faster paced problem solver. I believe that that's something I needed to have the ability to do just in the workplace in general.
I think my favorite project would have to be the group project I did with all the interns. We had to put together a presentation on how the government can recruit their next generation of employees and leaders.
My favorite project was the group project. I got to work with the other interns in a more comfortable environment. But I also enjoyed my grant management project as well. It has helped me step out of my comfort zone again, and hopefully I'll have a future relationship with the city. If they decide to hire me, that would be great.
I think I've gained a lot of important skills, but the best ones were probably how to communicate with supervisors above me, as well as coworkers on the same level as me, networking, and just how to be professional in office setting. So I think if you're interested in government work or anything the city does, it's a great experience to intern here.
I think this internship will impact my future in a very beneficial way. Hopefully I can eventually work for the city of Palm Coast, but also it's definitely helped me learn new skills and also grow upon the ones I've already acquired from school. And so it's definitely helped me become a more well-rounded business individual.
I would most definitely recommend finding an internship, especially if it matches up with your major or something you would want to pursue. It really provides great insight about what you could possibly be doing in the future if you were to pursue your major.
They worry about your well-being before working, which is very hard to find. They're very supportive, and I really appreciate all of you guys for being very supportive.
I definitely would recommend an internship with the City of Palm Coast. I've had an amazing time here, amazing people, and it's a really great opportunity.
I have a comment. I cannot reinforce my support for this program any more than what you just heard. The idea of succession planning is one of the most integral pillars that support the future vision of the City of Palm Coast, and the folks that you just listened to could well represent our future. They think about things differently. They collaborate differently. They work in teams differently than in any way that I am used to over my 5 decades of organizational experience. But I'm quick to say that their way is the future way. We mustn't look back, we must look forward. And these are the young people, the young professionals, which will guide our city forward for the future. So with that, I would ask City Council, any comments?
For sure. Number one, I'm super excited about the amount of interns that we had and the energy that they showed. And number two, I would like to thank our staff. You can have a bunch of interns, but without direction and oversight, and I saw so many directors in this video interacting directly with these interns, and I think that's great because it really inspires them and shows them exactly what our city is all about. I think it's very almost akin to our Citizens Academy. We're creating ambassadors, and these young ambassadors are fantastic because not only do they see the potential career paths in our city, but they're going to be able to tell their friends and their entire social circles, which is huge because that demographic isn't necessarily always interested in city resources and city engagement. So I wanted to thank our staff and then also the interns for participating, and I'm hopeful that we will see some of these bright young faces in our future.
I think you two said it all. There's not much I can add to that. I fully agree.
Councilman Finelli, I'm sure you have a word to say.
I do. I would like to associate myself with all of your comments. I had the opportunity to meet some of these interns, and they are just amazing, amazing young adults in our community. Thank you to the city for mentoring these young adults and showing them all of the wonderful things we have to offer in the city. And I agree 100%, they are the future of Palm Coast. So thank you for all that you guys are doing to support and grow them into our community.
I'd just like to add to actually thank those interns for choosing Palm Coast. They have chosen the right city, the right place, and the right staff to work with. Congratulations to them, and thank you very much for choosing us. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Ms. Kershaw, thank you very much for the presentation, and City Manager, thank you for guiding their efforts. Very good. All right, moving down the agenda, and before we begin today with the council business portion of the meeting, I want to take a moment to discuss City Council processes relating to approval or denial of items presented to Council at all business meetings. For each workshop, City Council receives a comprehensive overview of each item. At that time, it is Council's opportunity to provide opinions and ask questions on each item. Just as a reminder, items that are quasi-judicial in nature will require Council to base their decisions only on what is presented at the scheduled public hearings conducted at the scheduled business meetings. The purpose of a business meeting is for Council to review and weigh all the evidence and take action with decisions based on all information presented both at the prior workshop and today. And with that, I would go to item G, ordinances second read, and I would ask the City Council to read number 3 into the record, please.
Yes, this is an ordinance regarding the Ryan's Landing rezoning application.
an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, repealing and replacing the prior master plan development agreement of a parcel of land being a portion of Reserve Parcel 13-1 of the subdivision plat of Royal Palms, Section 29, Palm Coast, recorded in Map Book 10, pages 17 through 29 of the public records of Flagler County, Florida, containing 27.79 acres, as described in this ordinance, providing for legislative findings and intent, providing for the taking of implementing administrative actions, repealing all conflicting ordinances, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date. City Council, this is a quasi-judicial matter. It's come before you before, and it was continued to allow staff to address additional comments. So if there's been any ex parte communications between our last meeting on this item until now, please disclose them on the record.
Councilman?
I've received one email.
Okay. Councilman?
I received an email as well.
I have none.
Yep, just a single email.
None. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, City Council members. Ray Tyner, Deputy Chief Development Officer. As our city attorney stated, this was continued from our June 7th City Council meeting, and there was a couple outstanding issues that City Council wanted us to go back and work with the applicant and Flagler Schools. With that, Ms. Myers will have the staff presentation.
Okay, and Ms. Myers, just before you begin, let me correct my quasi-judicial. I did receive an email that I responded to.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Mayor, City Council. I'll just go over a brief overview before we get into the few changes that were requested of us. This is where Ryan's Landing is located. It is south of Rimfire Drive and north of Royal Palms Parkway, and it is to the west of Belterre, which is over here. That's a little closer in view with the streets around it. Now, this is the updated site plan for Ryan's Landing. There were a few requests made of us for an additional full access paved entrance. It has been added here at the southern portion of the property, and the main entrance and school bus stop conflict right here has been resolved. The letter from the Flagler Schools attorney was attached to your agenda, and I do have the graphic that went with that letter on my next slide. But as you can see, there has been a full access provided, full paved access, not only for emergencies, for ingress and egress out of the project. This was the graphic that was provided to the Flagler Schools attorney. This is where the bus stop was located. These were the two proposed locations. And per the letter, Flagler Schools said they didn't know where they were going to move it, just that they would be moving it and it would not be in conflict with the main entrance of Ryan's Landing. These are some other bits from the MPD. These have not changed. The owner will be deeding 17 lots, abutting Seminole Woods Neighborhood Park to the city in place of the 5-acre neighborhood park on site. The owner is no longer requesting recreational impact fee credits. The 4-foot and 6-foot tall fence will be installed. And an age-restricted language has been added to the master plan development agreement. And recommendation, the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board voted on April 20th, 2022, by a vote of 6-1 to recommend City Council determine the proposed rezoning of Ryan's Landing. Application 5037 is consistent with the comprehensive plan and rezone 27.79 plus or minus acres from the master plan development agreement development zoning district to the master plan development zoning district. And the applicant is here and has an updated presentation for you.
Very good. Any questions from staff at this point? Please.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Jay Livingston here for Ryan's Landing LLC. I will go quick. I strip this out to just a quick recap of what we're doing and an explanation of what we've accomplished since the last time we saw you all. This is the both existing and proposed zoning. So as staff explained, we're essentially going from a PUD to an MPD, but they're the same thing. It's just MPD replaced PUD in the code. The original PUD was for 69 units with the park donation site. The city doesn't need the park, nor does it plan for the parks, which led us to the new plan. This is the breakdown of what was permitted in the original PUD. The only difference between this project and the next one is that we've increased the unit count and we have increased the minimum living area to avoid smaller houses. That was a concern that was raised by some of the neighbors. Now we have 95 residential units, a community center, dog walk areas, the pond in the middle has been improved to provide that recreational amenity with a path around it and benches. The park donation, as was already mentioned, we were able to find a good location for the secondary access road, which was a concern because of conflicts with roadways, but there is no road there for it to conflict with, and it's set further, farther enough away from where the curb is to avoid any dangerous conditions. The both entrances will be gated. And then, as you know, the main entrance, the school bus stop, has been moved. This is the table from the MPD agreement that shows the primarily the change of the living area minimum from 1,200 to 1,500 square feet. Just as a recap, even though we're increasing the lot size, the age restriction, which is now actually written into the MPD as well as the restrictive covenants that are proposed for the project, actually results in a reduction of the total trips out of the project because of the age-restricted nature. The copy of the letter from Ms. Gavin at the school board, who, after working with the transportation director, they do a planning exercise every school year because of where the students are located, but they have committed to not putting the school bus stop at that location. So it should avoid any conflicts with Ryan Drive, which I think is the busiest road in the area, and that should be safer for the students. And then this is the new plan, just in case you have any questions about it.
Councilman, questions?
No questions. Thank you for addressing our concerns.
You're welcome.
I think the safety of our children is paramount. And again, thank you for taking care of that.
You're welcome.
Councilman Finelli?
Same here. Thank you for addressing those concerns. And that's it.
Councilman?
Likewise, thank you for addressing the concerns. For posterity, there weren't any other issues that I believe we had as a council with this project, but if I can just confer with my other council members, that was pretty much the outstanding issue. Okay,
I believe that covers the questions and concerns that we had at our last discussion. Yep. And I would just make a comment, and I would direct it to staff. I would compliment the development staff for being problem solvers. So I especially appreciate the collaboration with the property owner and developer to look for solutions that do in fact make the community safer. So kudos and congratulations for those efforts. I think that's the right way to smartly manage the growth that we are experiencing. So Councillor, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Councilman Branchino, questions?
Are you on mute, council member?
Oh, I'm sorry. I no further comments other than to say that thank you to the developers to listen to us and to listen to the people of Palm Coast. Thank you very much. You did the right thing.
Thank you, councilman. Okay, with that, I would, if there are no other comments right now, I would open this issue up to the public. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on this agenda item at this time? Seeing no one come forward, I will close public comment, come back to the dais. Is there any additional discussion? Hearing none, I would ask for a motion, please.
Move approval.
I have a motion to approve the ordinance.
And I'll second it.
And I also have a second. Let's do a roll call, please.
Councilman Danko?
Yes.
Councilmember Finelli?
Yes.
Councilmember Klufas?
Affirmative.
Mayor Alfin?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you. We move on to agenda item number letter H. Ordinance's first read. Councillor, if you'd read that into the record for us.
Yes, this is an ordinance establishing the Landings Community Development District. an ordinance of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, establishing the Landings Community Development District pursuant to Chapter 190 Florida Statutes, providing for functions and powers of the district, designating the initial Board of Supervisors of the district, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Myers will have the presentation.
Good morning again. The presentation's wholly the same. We have a few extra graphics for you. So again, just as a background, this is the site outlined in red. It does not include the existing phases of Grand Landings, only future phases of the development, so it will not affect any current residents of the project. In April 2022, the property owner applied to create the Landing CDD, as mentioned last time, for a 399-lot community. And we went over this last time, you know, explaining what is a CDD. And it's the key advantage is the developer can obtain low-cost financing by issuing tax-exempt bonds. And then once the infrastructure is completed, it is managed by a 5-member board of supervisors. And the payments are made to the Flagler County Tax Collector's Office as an assessment.
Ms. Myers, would you just highlight the, you mentioned the benefit to the developer. Could you mention the benefit to the City of Palm Coast? Having to do with the roads and...
We were getting to that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. So I think this is the graphic that would best explain that. So the on-site roads, as you can see, are all the responsibility of the CDD, which was mentioned at the last meeting, that the city will not be taking any of the on-site roads or the responsibility of the on-site roads. Those will all be per the CDD. Now, the off-site roads would be the ownership of the city. That would be possibly Citation Boulevard. So the city would take Citation Boulevard, but nothing internal to their property. The city wouldn't take that. And then potable water, sewer, and reclaim. So again, off-site, so where it connects to Citation Boulevard, that's where the city would take it. But on-site, again, is the responsibility of the developer. And then the hardscape, landscape, irrigation, community parks, and their stormwater system, as you can see, all CDD. The city will not take responsibility for any of that, does not have to pay for any of that. It is all the developer. This is another table from the CDD petition showing the estimated costs for everything that they are planning to do within the CDD. And you can see it is very expensive to build a community. So this is part of what is required in a CDD petition to break out what you're using all those funds for. And you can see the contingency is a large chunk of those funds. The city runs ads 2 weeks prior to each public hearing. The applicant has run their 4 news ads once per week, and staff still received 4 calls. I do believe the applicant had a meeting at Grand Landings of their own volition to educate the residents of Grand Landings on the CDD. Planning staff recommends that the City Council determine the Landings Community Development District petition is in compliance with Florida Statutes Chapter 190 and the City's Comprehensive Plan, and approve the ordinance establishing the Landings Community Development District, application number 5110. This will come before Council one more time on 9-6, and the applicant is here to answer any questions you may have.
I would ask City Council members any questions about this project. A pretty good presentation.
I do have one question for the city. So with Citation Drive, we would retain ownership, which it's ours now anyway, right? But the CDD would be responsible for maintaining or the upkeep of that road. Is that how it is, or no?
No, Citation Extension will be our responsibility. Okay. It'd be a public road.
And it is anyway. That's not
that's
changing.
Right. Yeah.
I have
also, okay, with that, I would open up the item for any comments by the public. Do any members of the public want to speak? Yes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Baker, and I reside at 109 Spinville Drive, Grand Landings, Palm Coast, Florida. In the Statement of Estimated Regulatory Costs contained within the petition, it states the district is designed to provide community infrastructure services and facility along with operation and maintenance of such facilities and service to the lands with the district. I assume they're referring to the roads, landscaping, community parks, and other items listed in Table 1 of the statement. Chapter 190 of the Florida statute states that long-range planning, management, and financing, and long-term maintenance, upkeep, and operation of basic service for the CDD be under one coordinated entity. I assume the statute is referring to the District Board of Supervisors and not the Grand Landings Homeowners Association. If you refer to the Grand Landings Declaration of Covenants, it states that common maintenance areas may or may not be owned by the association and may not be located within the property. My question is, would the Grand Landings Homeowners Association or the Board of Supervisors be the one coordinated entity for the long-term maintenance and upkeep responsible for common area maintenance expenses within the district? Clarification of this and other issues need to be explained to the association and shared with the residents. We don't need infighting and confusion among CDD and non-CDD residents. I'm also concerned about the working relationship between the association and the Board of Supervisors. Hopefully, JTL and the City Council will establish written guidelines on how business will be conducted between the district and the association and what entity is responsible for what expense. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any other members of the public? Yes, sir.
My name is Robert Meyer, 117 South Cooper's Hawk Way in Grand Landings. I believe I feel pretty confident that CDDs are something that the council, the cities, the counties kind of favor because it kind of helps reduce your costs relative to other type communities. However, this particular CDD is coming into a community that already has 400 and some homes either completed or under construction right now. And there's a lot of questions on this. I'm not against the CDD, so let me square away that. But I am concerned about some conditions that it creates in the current community that you should also be aware of and be comfortable to perhaps work with us to help control the CDD. One is currently the developer that's developing the CDD as well as the Grand Landings. It's a gated community, but it's not a gated community. The gates are open all day long. So we basically during the day have public roads maintained by the HOA because that's what the developer wants. One of the suggestions that I would have as a condition with this phase five would be that the gates go down 24/7. They create an entrance before they start off of Citation Boulevard. They close off any other entrance that exists in the current phase four so that there could be no traffic with the CDD going through the current HOA controlled development. And I would ask you that these conditions be met before, when I say met, I mean agreed to before it's approved to allow the CDD to go forward. CDDs are very good for the developer, not so great for the residents. So the argument might be, well, they get houses cheaper. That's debatable. When it all gets down to the house sale. But they also have that second mortgage. So I ask the board to please consider the 470 some homes that are gonna be in there probably by the end of this year, early next year. And currently, I noticed on the sheet that was presented, there's no more amenities. Currently we have one amenity, and that's a pool basically, with 11 parking spots. Add 400 more homes to that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any additional speakers that would like to address City Council on this agenda item? Seeing no one come forward, let me come back to the dais. And Mr. Tyner, Ms. Myers, can you comment on the speaker's question regarding the relationship between the CDD and the existing HOA?
Yeah, and I think our attorney can fill in the blanks as well. The CDD is just specifically for the area that we provided that presentation for. It is a funding mechanism for that development, and they may set up funds to do, you know, the list that Ms. Myers had showed for master stormwater systems, from roads to amenities. It's a funding mechanism for that specific development. And they may have an association along with that, but the CDD, what's before you today, is to establish by state statute a funding mechanism for this potential developer to utilize.
Is there a representative for the applicant today that would want to address this question? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Thank you for the people that spoke. Some good questions.
Can you introduce yourself, please? Your name,
I'm sorry, Jeff Douglas, Douglas Property and Development, on behalf of JTL Grand Landings Development, JTL Grand Landings Holdings. Again, this is merely a procedural establishment. We've been 3 years in the design and engineering and permitting of phase three. I think that's probably a new record in the city. Some misnomers, unfortunately, some things were said. As I look at that, we intend to keep the roads private, number one. And the amenity package that's forthcoming, that's in design of 5 and 6. It's a question of, you know, how do we mix? We put in a substantially large clubhouse and pool and dog park and kid park. So we need to get that on the record. It's not just a pool. Coming forward, we look to add to that and enhance that. Obviously, we're going to add 399 units, 398, whatever the number is, to it. So it's roughly, in dollars, it's going to be a double. And we look to keep that private as part of the community. If we extract this phase from the master association, what the gentleman's saying is they require these residents to pay in the master association, but you're not allowed to use anything. So it brings up all kinds of issues. So in fact, the CDD portion, obligated lands in 5 and 6, will actually benefit the existing master association, because in before me, this is other CDDs I'm a part of, they will be paying for the maintenance of the stormwater and those amenity, those bond funds that are utilized. If it's stormwater, the bond funds have to set up, they have to pay for that maintenance. So I hope that helps clear up some of the questions. I'm here to answer any
questions. City Council, is it a clear explanation?
Clear enough.
Okay. Fair. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
City Council, have any further questions for staff at this time for their presentation?
Nope, but I'd just like to remind our council and the citizens again, this is the first reading of this, and it does give us time as a council to interact with the public and get any more remaining feedback that we can to make a decision on this. It's just the first action that we have on this item, right?
Is that a motion you're making?
Yes, I would make a motion. Have we opened up for public comment? We're good?
We did.
Okay, excellent. Yes, then I would make a motion to approve this first reading of our resolution.
Thank you, Council.
I'll second it.
And I also have a second. Is there any further discussion by City Council at this time?
I would just like to thank the city for kind of clarifying some of the questions that we had during the workshop. So thank you for really spelling it all out for us.
Very good. Then I would ask the clerk to do a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Danko.
Yes.
Councilmember Finelli.
Yes.
Councilmember Clufus.
Affirmative.
Mayor Alvin.
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
We'll move along to agenda letter I, resolutions. And Councilor, if you would read number 5 into the record for me, please.
Yes. This is the City of Palm Coast and FGUA Bulk Utility Treatment Agreement, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, approving the interconnection and bulk water and wastewater treatment utility agreement with Florida Governmental Utility Authority, authorizing the city manager or designee to execute said agreement, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, providing for implementing actions, and providing for an effective date. City Council, this is the draft agreement on this matter. We have a couple, as I said last time, outstanding items that need to be further pinned down, but we're very close to being able to do that with some additional information. So that's why in this particular resolution, you will be giving the city manager the ability to negotiate the agreement to finality and then execute it on behalf of the city.
So I'm sorry, all we're doing here is...
You're approving the agreement, the draft agreement, and allowing the city manager to then
We'll really be voting on letting the city manager complete the agreement.
Yeah, and the substantial, the agreement's completed. There's a couple things that need to be filled in still, pertaining to the location of the master lift station. That's basically our last outstanding item, and whether that's located on the plant site that we will be subsequently acquiring once all the infrastructure is put in, or across the street on an easement area on a private property.
All right, then our expert, Mr. Flanagan, do you have a brief presentation for us?
Good morning, Mayor, City Council. Steve Flanagan, your utility director. The city and FGUA proposed to enter into this interlocal agreement, whereas the city would provide bulk water and wastewater services to the FGUA south of US of State Road 100 in the South Old Kings Road area of the FGUA service area. This item was presented to council on the workshop of August 9th, and I'm here to answer any questions that council might have or residents.
I just have to make a comment. I'll do it early. This project has been in your mind for a very long time. It is finally in sight of the finish line, but I think what's important, this is again a further collaboration between the county and the city in terms of making these projects develop in the smartest way possible. Can you agree with that?
I wholeheartedly agree with that, Mayor. This is an excellent example of the city, county, and FGUA working together for what's best for our community as a whole.
And you've suffered through a rather slow startup process with the FGUA, which is a public-private entity developed by the state, and suffered through and got to the finish line. So we applaud you for that.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I appreciate that. It has been a struggle to get to the end, but we've had many people, like our city attorney, assisting along the way, and the support of the city manager's office has also been a great appreciated level there. This has been a struggle, but ultimately, you know, I think the parties all came together, city, county, FGUA, to do what's best for all of us and the environment.
Thank you for helping us put another precedent in the books.
Mayor, if I may, real quick, another thing that this agreement does that you may not realize is there's been kind of a long-standing, we have a settlement agreement for a water provider service agreement dating back from 2007, and there's been some disputes over the years about certain areas, and what we've been able to do here is work out those disputes, get everything cleared up, and got a letter of authorization from the county that we can serve certain lands that had been in dispute before, and really, really worked everything out. So this agreement does a lot more than, I think, than what it looks like on its face.
Very good. Thank you, Councillor. With that, I would, any questions right now from City Council members?
No, I'd just like to say thank you for the extended length that you've put into this. I know over the last 5 years we've been talking about it, and it is best for everyone, all the governing bodies, municipalities, and especially preventing that affluent from flowing into the Buell Creek. I think Mother Nature will appreciate this as well.
So with that, I would open up this agenda item to the public. Would any member of the public like to comment on this agenda item at this time? Seeing no one come forward, I'll come back to the dais. Any further discussion or questions? I would ask for a motion then.
Actually,
yes.
I know we hear a lot about smart growth in our city and forward thinking, and I think that's exactly what this is. So I'd like to thank you, Mr. Flanagan, and your team. And it's also an environmentally sensitive approach as well. So thank you for all the work that has gone into this. And it will benefit our citizens for years to come. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Is that in the form of a
I'll
motion?
Move approval.
Okay, I have a motion to approve and a second. Give me a roll call vote, please.
Councilman Danko?
Yes.
Councilmember Finelli?
Yes.
Councilmember Clufus?
Affirmative.
Mayor Alvin?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you. Councilor, we'll move on to item number 6. If you would read that into the record, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a resolution concerning the Community Development Block Grant Consolidated Action Plan for years 2022 through 2026, an annual action plan for year 2022. A resolution of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, adopting the FFY 2022 to 2026 Community Development Block Grant Program Consolidated Action Plan and the FFY 2022 Annual Action Plan, authorizing the city manager or designee to execute necessary documents, providing for severability, conflicts, implementing actions, and an effective date.
Mr. Papa, you have a summary presentation for us?
If you'd like a summary presentation, I can certainly provide one, but otherwise I'm just here to answer any questions that the board might have at this time.
Okay, good. I would ask city council members any questions. There were some statistics that Mr. Papa reviewed last time with us, which were quite noteworthy. I would encourage each of us to understand those demographic numbers. I think they're important, and they do show a trajectory for the community, which we are working to working forward in our vision. Any other questions?
No, I would just like to thank you continually for all your hard work on the CDBG initiatives and keeping our city to the quality of life that we expect.
I think I said this last time. I would ask you and city manager to thank the members of your committee that spend their volunteer time to develop and discuss and eventually vote on the initiatives that you have presented. So if you'll extend our thanks to them when you're with them, we appreciate that.
Yes, sir. We can certainly do that.
All right. At this time, I would open up this item for the public. Would anyone like to comment at this time? Seeing no one approach, I'll come back to the dais. Any last comments?
None.
Then I would ask for a motion.
I make the motion.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second as well. Any further discussion?
No.
Clerk, please give us a roll call vote.
Councilmember Danko?
Yes.
Councilmember Finelli?
Yes.
Councilmember Clufus?
Affirmative.
Mayor Alvin?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
We move now to item number 7. And council, if you would read item number 7 into the record for us, please.
This is a resolution concerning the approval of the final nuisance abatement assessment. A resolution of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, relating to nuisance abatement within the incorporated area of the city, providing authority and definitions, creating the nuisance abatement service area, confirming the initial assessment resolution, approving the nuisance abatement assessment role, providing for the imposition of the nuisance abatement assessments, providing for collection of the assessments pursuant to the Uniform Assessment Collection Act, providing for the effect of this resolution, providing for severability, and an effective date.
Thank you, Councilor. This item for City Council is a required legislative action. It's done each year, obviously on an annual basis. So a part of our administrative effort regarding the nuisance abatement. Are there any questions?
And Mayor, Jason or I are available to answer any questions.
I don't think City Council has any questions at this time.
I think we should let Jason off the hook on this one, yeah.
Okay. All right, if there are no questions, I would open up this item to the public. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on this agenda item at this time? Seeing no one come forward, back to the dais. Any final comments? Then I would ask for a motion, please.
Move approval.
I have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
And I have a second as well. Any further discussion? Please, a roll call vote.
Councilman Danko?
Yes.
Councilman Finelli?
Yes.
Councilmember Clufus?
Affirmative.
Mayor Alvin?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
All right, and we move down to item number 8. Councilor, if you would read that item into the record, please.
This is a resolution approving the Old Kings Road Special Assessment Role. A resolution of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, approving the fiscal year 2022-23 non-ad valorem assessment role for the Old Kings Road Special Assessment District directing certification of the assessment roll to the Flagler County Tax Collector, and providing for an effective date.
Councilor, again, this is an administrative action required in terms of moving some paperwork to the proper authority.
Yes, this will be required as long as there's still debt service for this improvement that was made.
Any questions from City Council?
None.
Nope.
Very good. Then let me open up the item to the public. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on this item at this time? Seeing no one approach, I'll close public comment. Back to the dais. Any additional discussion? Then I would look for a motion.
Move approval.
I have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I have a second as well. Any additional discussion? I'll go for a roll call vote.
Councilmember Danko?
Yes.
Councilmember Finelli?
Yes.
Councilmember Clufus?
Yes.
Mayor Alfin?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Okay, we now move down to item number J on your agenda. This is the consent portion of the agenda. Are there any comments from City Council, any items that you would like clarification on or would like to remove from the consent agenda?
None.
Seeing none, okay. We go to public on this? I'll open up the consent agenda to the public. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on the consent agenda? Seeing none, I will close public comment, come back to the dais. Any final discussion? Then I would ask for a motion.
Move approval.
I have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Seconded.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Does the clerk have the count?
Motion passes 4-0.
Very good. We move down now to the final public participation of this morning's meeting. Are there any members of the public that would like to address City Council at this time? Please come forward. Seeing no one come forward, I will close public participation. And we move to item number L, which is the discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Councilors, any councilmen, any final discussion items?
I have none.
I have none.
I have none.
I have one, and I'm starting to use this quote, which I think I'm inspired by the interns today, and my quote is simply, look what we can accomplish when we all work together. And the reason I use that quote is because I would like to personally thank Ms. Lauren Johnston and her team, and I don't know how many members of her team are present today, for an absolutely exceptional job in presenting our grant request to the Tourism and Development Council, and they were successful in obtaining how much? Say it louder. That's what I thought I heard. $740,000, which will go to help us finish the Southern Community Center, multi-purpose activity center for the city of Palm Coast. I can't congratulate your team enough. The team was recognized by the county commissioners last night for a job extremely well done. So thank you very, very much. Okay, and please let, I think you have one team member absent, make sure you pass that along. We appreciate each one of your efforts. With that, there are no other comments from City Council members at this time. Let's move right down to discussion by City Attorney. Do you have anything for us this morning?
I just have one item. I just wanted to let the City Council know that last night, the Board of County Commissioners voted to extend the current school district ILA to November 9th to allow for additional time to allow that agreement to be finalized, and the working group is working on it now, so I just wanted to let you know that it will not be terminating as of September 1st. Now that date is November 9th.
Thank you for that. And any discussion by our city manager this morning?
Two items, Mayor. As part of your packet, you'll note the emergency sole source item. If you have any questions about those, now is the time. Seeing none, my second item is from an awareness standpoint that we're now on the cusp of hurricane season. Sorry, I said the H word, staff. But it's a friendly reminder. I know it's a very busy time with getting back to school and the hectic that comes with that, but please make some time to create a plan and be prepared. And with that, that's all I have. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, City Manager. So with that, I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
Move adjournment.
Okay, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.